Our planet is burning, and we're still debating whether to call the fire department. The climate book arrives at a pivotal moment when humanity stands at a crossroads, with global temperatures already 1.2 C higher than pre-industrial times. This isn't about some distant apocalypse, it's about the world we're creating right now. The carefully balanced systems that have maintained Earth's habitability for millennia are breaking down before our eyes. Every mass extinction in Earth's history correlates with carbon cycle disruptions, and today we're releasing carbon 10 times faster than the volcanic eruptions that triggered the greatest mass extinction ever. What makes our situation particularly dangerous is that we're approaching multiple tipping points simultaneously. Arctic sea ice, permafrost, ocean circulation, and the Amazon rainforest all show signs of impending collapse. Once these systems tip, there's no easy way back. The decisions we make this decade will determine the livability of our planet for generations to come. Look around. Climate change isn't coming. It's here. The physics is simple. A warmer climate means more heat waves, fewer cold events, and heavier rainfall as warmer air holds more moisture. The 2003 European heat wave that killed 70,000 people was made twice as likely by climate change. By 2021, the situation had worsened dramatically. The heat wave that destroyed Lytton, British Columbia, with 49.6 C temperatures was made at least 150 times more likely by human-induced warming. Meanwhile, our oceans have absorbed over 90% of excess heat trapped by greenhouse gases, causing stronger tropical cyclones, more extreme rainfall, and devastating effects on marine ecosystems. The Antarctic and Greenland ice sheets have lost 12.8 trillion tons of ice between 1994-2017, each trillion tons equivalent to an ice cube taller than Mount Everest. Think about that next time you hear someone claim climate change isn't that bad yet. Climate change is already killing us. Currently, about 1% of global deaths are attributed to heat, nearly matching malaria mortality. Climate change directly causes one-third of these heat deaths, with projections suggesting a tenfold increase by century's end in southern Europe, Southeast Asia, and South America under worst-case scenarios. Vector-borne diseases are spreading to new regions, while rising CO2 levels reduce nutritional content in our food. Climate change severely amplifies inequality. Poor communities lack resources for adaptations like air conditioning and seawalls. Temperature effects are non-linear. Warming helps cold regions but harms already hot locations by destroying crops, spreading disease, and slowing economic growth. Our carbon budget belongs equally to all, yet 90% has already been consumed primarily by the global north. 3 billion people use less energy annually than a standard American refrigerator, while Sweden requires 4.2 planet Earths to sustain its lifestyle, representing both climate injustice and atmospheric colonization. By 2070, researchers project that 19% of the planet could become uninhabitable for 3 billion people. The Sahel region could see 86 million climate-displaced people by 2050. South and East Asia faces 89 million internally displaced, and Central America potentially 30 million migrants to the U.S. border. In sacrifice zones like Reserve, Louisiana, dubbed Cancer Town, African American communities face chloroprene emissions 755 times EPA guidance levels, with cancer risks 50 times the national average. Indigenous peoples like the Sami watch as unpredictable winter snow patterns devastate traditional reindeer herding that has sustained their culture for generations. Why has action been so slow? Future historians will likely point to systematic deception by fossil fuel companies. ExxonMobil scientists warned of climate threats in the 1970s, yet by the 1990s, the company publicly emphasized scientific uncertainty. This carbon combustion complex, an alliance of fossil fuel, automotive, and industrial interests, created public confusion using tobacco industry tactics, promoting fringe scientists, funding diversionary research, attacking legitimate climate scientists, and shifting responsibility to individual carbon footprints. Between 2000 to 2016, fossil fuel interests spent nearly $2 billion opposing U.S. climate legislation. Three factors created fossil fuel lock-in: exceptional energy density, massive infrastructure inertia, and entrenched interests with enormous political power. The climate crisis extends beyond rising temperatures to systemic exploitation. The richest 10% generate approximately half of all CO2 emissions, while the wealthiest 1% produces twice the emissions of the bottom 50%. Despite technological advances, GDP growth remains tightly coupled to energy consumption. Despite the grim reality, viable solutions exist. Renewable energy has become the cheapest option almost everywhere. Solar power is cheap, quick to install, and scalable, already providing 10% of Germany's electricity. Wind power is widely available, rapidly deployable, and increasingly affordable. Our food systems drive 30% of greenhouse emissions, occupy 40% of Earth's land, and use 70% of fresh water. But changing our diets, especially reducing beef consumption, could dramatically reduce this impact. Producing 10 grams of beef protein generates 2 to 10 kilograms of CO2 and requires 5 to 35 square meters of land, while plant alternatives provide the same protein using just 2 to 12% of these resources. The ocean offers powerful climate solutions through offshore wind, regenerative farming, requiring no fertilizer, freshwater, or feed, and coastal ecosystems that protect against storms and rising seas. With global resource use exceeding sustainable planetary boundaries by approximately 100%, degrowth becomes necessary, reducing excess consumption in wealthy nations while expanding essential services like renewable infrastructure, public transportation, and healthcare. Indigenous communities, just 5% of the global population, protect 80% of Earth's remaining biodiversity. Their traditional ecological knowledge, refined over generations, offers vital wisdom for sustainability. Climate justice recognizes that those least responsible for climate change often suffer its worst impacts. Progress requires acknowledging this inequity and ensuring solutions address existing disparities. Indigenous perspectives emphasize our interconnectedness with nature and provide alternatives to extractive economic models. By centering these voices and prioritizing vulnerable communities, we can tackle both environmental degradation and social injustice simultaneously. Every fraction of a degree matters, and it's never too late to save what can be saved. We need both individual and systemic change. Our actions influence others. Studies show environmentally friendly choices spread through social networks like contagion. When two houses within a half a mile install solar panels, neighboring households typically follow. Addressing this emergency requires massive collective action, creating political pressure. People power, nonviolent civil resistance, has historically been one of the most effective tools for demanding transformation. Hope isn't passive optimism, but something earned through action. If school children could mobilize millions for climate strikes, imagine what coordinated global action could accomplish. The question isn't whether we can solve this climate crisis, it's whether we will choose to. Our house is on fire, and the time for debate is over. We already possess the necessary technologies and knowledge. What we need is political will and social momentum for rapid deployment. By transforming energy systems, food production, ecosystem protection, and embracing climate justice, we can create a thriving future. This decade determines whether we continue toward catastrophe or pivot toward sustainability. The choice belongs to all of us.